It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning gonna keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time at Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw. Under pressure, heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to participate in this morning's program. Our cavalcade of Giants beat reporters continues this morning. Paul Schwartz yesterday, his partner in crime or arch rival, depending on how you look at it. Rob Vacchiano from the New York Daily News will join us in about 10, 15 minutes to get his preview of camp and what's going on with the New York Football Giants. In the meantime, we will take your calls at 201-939-4513 and your comments on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. A couple things. Our question of the day, which player has most to gain this year in training camp? What player can earn a starting roster spot? What player can earn playing time? I think it's a good question, and it was just thrown at me about a minute before the show, so I'm trying to figure it out in my head as this show gets going. And I think there are a couple interesting names. I think Brandon Mosley is somebody that could help himself a lot in camp on the offensive line. You know, he can earn a starting guard spot, potentially, if Chris Knee ends up not being able to go. Obviously, all the rookies, Odell Beckham Jr., Weston Richburg, Devon Kennard, Andre Williams, those guys all can earn a lot in camp this year. If you're looking at veterans, J'Ron Hosley's playing for his NFL career right now. With that suspension, if he doesn't play well in camp, guess what? Bye-bye. You know, Zach Bowman's a guy that's a veteran that'll be competing with Tremaine McBride for playing time. Both those guys, a lot to prove. Who's going to be the Giants' fourth and fifth cornerbacks? Important spots on this roster. Cooper Taylor, a draft pick last year, is a guy that is going to try to help himself for a spot. And while Stevie Brown has been lining up with the ones, quite frankly, I think you might see a decent competition between Quinton Demps and Stevie Brown as he was starting across a Montreal role. I don't think it's a sure thing that Stevie Brown's that guy. I think Demps is going to give him a run for his money. I really do. Demontre Moore is going to have to really step in there and earn some playing time at defensive end. You know, Marcus Kuhn, Mike Patterson, those guys are going to compete at defensive tackle. Jay Bromley, throw him into the mix. Reuben Randall, Odell Beckham, competing for that number two and number three spot. Who's going to earn more playing time? At running back, Rashad Jennings is number one, but, you know, is David Wilson going to get cleared? Andre Williams and Payne Hill is fighting for those short yardage and pass protection snaps. And then, of course, tight end. You can put all three guys on that, all five guys on that list. Three. Five. They could all help themselves with good training camp. So that's how I look at it, folks. A lot of things to watch in camp this year. And, you know, talking to Ben McAdoo, and you'll see my interview with him. I think it's coming up tomorrow on Giants.com, maybe over the weekend. I did a like, four-minute interview. And let me tell you, interviewing Ben McAdoo, a lot more challenging than interviewing Kevin Gilbride. And not that Ben McAdoo, you know, doesn't want to talk or he's a bad guy. Not at all. Nicest guy in the world. Good dude. Love talking to him. But Kevin Gilbride, who's been in this business a long time, was almost honest to a fault. I mean, he'd tell you stuff and you'd be like, dude, you should really be telling me this? But, you know, Ben McAdoo is much more guarded. He's much more Eric Mangini-ish than Kevin Gilbride was. So I tried to get something out of him. I'll let you guys decide if I did. But the one thing I've learned from talking to McAdoo and even other players on this roster, you know, we saw a lot of spring practice. This offense, if it's 50% in, it's barely 50% in. We're going to see a whole lot more in the next few weeks in camp. The basics and the fundamentals are in, but we're going to start seeing some wrinkles and some other stuff, which I think should be exciting. You know, Dan Salmo and I were talking the last couple weeks of spring practice, and you know, we talked about how much more fun this offseason is going to be, not seeing that same offense out there that really we had memorized, and everyone did. We've seen it forever. It worked. Won two Super Bowls, but it's a little lot more exciting seeing this other offense now take shape. And really, you're learning stuff about Ben McAdoo and even the other players on this roster as practice happens each and every day. All right, well, Ralph Vacchiano in about 10 minutes, give or take, 5-10 minutes. For now, I got three calls on the line. I'm going to try to get all three of you guys in before we get to Ralph. All right, let's go to Oren in Richmond, Virginia. He's been holding since the start of the show. Oren, good morning. Oren, what's up, pal?
I just wanted to talk about the offense, and I kind of see Chrissy Cruz being just like Randall Cobb. I know this is something about Green Bay's offense. They don't really have that many, like all that talented receivers, and they just do so well in that offense. And I feel like Ruben Randall and Odell Beckham are going to have, like, a breakout year.
Well, Oren,
Cruz is going to be one of those top receivers.
Yeah, Oren, in fairness, I think Greg Jennings, who got a $10 million contract from the Vikings, I think Randall Cobb, who's an up-and-coming pro bowler, and I think Jordy Nelson, who's caught double-digit touchdowns two out of the last 3 years, would probably disagree that the Packers don't have very talented wide receivers.
You know what I'm – you know, like, great – I didn't – but, like, what did he do in, like, Minnesota for real to me? I didn't think he did that much.
Well, in fairness, he also didn't have a quarterback in Minnesota throwing him the football. I mean, he had Christian Ponder, Josh Freeman, and Matt Cassel throwing him passes. I mean, that's pretty pathetic.
True that. And also, I think our division is going to be a lot better than it was last year.
Right.
I think a lot of people start respecting us. And I thought looking at the schedule earlier this morning, I was just like, I can see us really beating a lot of these teams. There's only two teams I honestly saw that is going to be really tough to go against. San Francisco 49ers and Seattle, especially when we go there. And also I think the Colts is going to be a tough game too. Since, you know, is over there now.
Hey, Oren, honestly, and don't sleep on playing at Detroit in week one. With a new coach and that offense, Detroit has a lot of talent. That's not going to be an easy game for this defense. You know, I could see the Falcons having a big bounce back year. I could see the Cardinals giving the Giants some issues. And I think the Rams are probably my sleeper team in the NFL this year. I think the Rams could win 9-10 games if everything goes right for them. Don't sleep on St. Louis.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think Detroit, they're good in offense and all that, but the corners, they're not that good. Their safeties and their corners, they're really bad.
I'll tell you what, though, Oren, it'll be a real test for this Giants offensive line in week one. That Lions defensive line can be a handful. This offensive line is going to have to be ready in week number one to block those guys.
I'm hoping Will Beattie's back. I really don't want to see that the old Saints left tackle, but... I already got money on that game.
All right, what are you doing this early? You got to wait to see what the injury situation is before you start putting ducats on things. Come on, I know, but...
And then, like, I'll give the Falcons some respect because Julio Jones are on here. You don't even know how his foot's going to be.
That's true.
How he's going to react to that. And I don't... They're still young in the secondary and all that. I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're going to be that good. I think their offense is going to be good, just like the same thing with Chip Choi. Arizona, I think they're going to be a tough game, but their quarterback stinks. I'm not going to lie about that. He's got to go.
That's fair. All right, Oren, I appreciate the call, my friend.
All right.
You have a good one, man. Thank you. Hey, good talking to you, man. Thanks for calling in. Don't be a stranger. Good to hear from you, Oren. 201-939-4513. Sorry, I just want to try to get to a couple guys that are on the line before we get to Ralph so people aren't holding. Let's go to Marco in Connecticut next. Marco, what's up?
Hey, good morning, John.
What's up, Marco?
Not much, man. I before I get to today's question that you just posed, yesterday's show, I liked what Steve mentioned about Paul having a question while you were gone. I liked the – I mean, it was a dry period, obviously, but I liked the soccer question. And my my choice for goalie on this team would have I told Paul. Paul was flipping out because he didn't think of this guy. But I chose Steve Weatherford, as I think would be a great soccer goalie. Yeah, you like that?
That's not bad.
That's not bad. And then the second thing I want to talk about, and not to put you on a spot or anything, but Shakes mentioned yesterday, if you ever did have a, you know, one of the callers on as a possible guest. I'd love to be considered for something like that. That would be a dream.
Yeah, you know what? Marco, honestly, it was something I thought of off the top of my head. It just kind of popped in my head as I was talking to Shakes. We'll see how the season goes, and we'll see what we end up doing in the winter and spring.
I wanted to mention it to you during this off season, but I didn't do it. So
I appreciate it, man.
Shanks mentioned it. Okay, player with most to gain. You know, as I was calling you, I was thinking about Ruben Randle and Prince. You know, really big seasons that could really make the jump to Prince. Could be with DRC on the other side, taking some of the attention away from him. He could make things just so great for him in his you know, as a contract year, and then also going into, you know, this phase in his career where he could be a lockdown corner. And Ruben, huge as a starting wide receiver. I mean, Beckham was drafted, but let's go, Ruben Randle. You're let's take some attention, like Prince with DRC. Let's take some attention off Cruz. And if you agree with that, I mean, we could talk about that, but I think the guy with the most to gain is GPP.
Here's the thing. I think JPP is the most to gain from a great season. I think JPP is your starting defensive end, regardless of what he does in the preseason. You know what I mean?
That's fair to say. I guess when I was looking at it, and an aspect of the team, I'm saying, you know, no Tuck. We lose some leadership on the defensive line. No Tuck and Pierre Paul. I mean, it's the same to you. Like Paul Schwartz against you, we've had a great defensive end for 20 years. Is he in line to carry the torch now? And this is a huge year for him, contractually, from a playing standpoint. He's got to really turn around those question marks from last year. Is he the player we saw a couple years ago when we went to the Super Bowl, or is he more of a player that we saw the last 2 years?
It's a great question.
We'll see.
All right, Orin. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Marco.
Thank you, John.
All right, man, 201-939-4513. We're going to get Ralph Vacchiano from the New York Daily News in just a second. In the meantime, Rocky's down in Panama City. Rocky, what's going on, man? How you doing?
How's it doing, John?
Doing well, Rock.
Hey, I didn't know if you know this. I told Lance my birthday is August 3rd, so I get to see us kick off the season on my birthday.
Oh, that is a nice little birthday present for you, Rock. Congratulations. I got to admit, I'm not sure how interesting that Hall of Fame game is going to be after the first quarter or so when the starters and the second stringers check out.
That's when I want to see it and see what type of depth we got and see them young kids. But
well, Rocky, I got to tell you, the last couple years, once you get past that first string and second string offensive line group, the Giants have not been able to protect their quarterback. So hopefully they'll show some more depth, especially there this year.
Right. Well, with that West Coast, maybe we'll get it out quick and it won't be an issue. But what I was hoping we could do through the preseason is these hybrid tight ends in the NFL, it's about impossible to stop these guys. We got to find a way defensively to handle them, and I was hoping to see on third and longs and passing down, especially if they flex the tight end out, if we could get Cooper Taylor out there on the field and have our own little defensive little package to neutralize that threat, that trend coming into the NFL.
Well, you know, Rocky, the funny thing about it is I think Will Hill really could have been that type of guy to cover those tight ends, and I think really right now, you know, Cooper Taylor is an interesting guy. He has the physical ability to do it, or at least he has the athletic talent where he should be able to do it, but he hasn't proven he can yet. I think the best guy really right now to cover tight ends on this roster is probably Jaquan Williams at linebacker. I think he's the guy physically, athletically, that probably is most suited to do it.
Right. Let's just think, though, John, in week one, what are we going to do if against Detroit if they flex Ebron out or line him up in the slot at wide receiver? I like Thurman, but I don't know if that isn't a mismatch in their favor.
Rocky, it's a good question. I think the Lions matchup in week one, I think, is interesting because it's going to test a couple of Giant weaknesses. It's going to test their pass rush. Can the Giants get to Matthew Stafford and force him into mistakes, which he is prone to do? And can, frankly, the Giants' offensive line hold up against a pretty active Detroit Lions defensive line? I think this Giants team is going to be tested a lot week one, and I think it's going to be a lot more difficult of a game than a lot of people think.
Right, and I keep hearing all this concern about beating and coming off that broke leg, but I guess everybody forgot what AP did a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, but that, you know, Rocky, that was a long time ago. He was healthy last year, didn't play well. Now he's coming off a broken leg. I think the concern's very warranted, to be quite honest with you.
Right, okay. And hey, if I got time, just...
Yeah, real quick, real quick.
Okay, what Charlie was talking about the fullbacks, whether we go no or two of them, I might could see, since so many teams are doing that sub-nickel defense, I might could see us going two fullbacks and just going two tight ends and not going with as many linebackers. If we can get, like, Kanowski to play that H-back role, he's 266. I don't see why he couldn't. He can catch good enough.
I'm not sure he's quite good enough as a route runner. Rocky, I appreciate it. I got Ralph on the line. I got a runner, right, pal?
Okay, appreciate you, Jeff.
Thank you, man. 201-939-4513. We continue our cavalcade of beat writers. Paul Schwartz was on yesterday. Today, it's Ralph Vacchione. When Ralph, Paul Schwartz kind of freaked out Giant fans a little bit yesterday. He was, I'm not going to say he was negative, but I would say he displayed a lot of different concerns about this team heading into 2014 as his camp started. If you were to label, Ralph, your top one, two, or three concerns and things you want to watch as camp begins, what would they be? And good morning, by the way.
And good morning to you, too. I will try not to alarm anybody. You know, I do have some concerns about this team. I don't know that they're huge, huge concerns. I guess they could be if they go the wrong way. But, you know, a lot of my concerns revolve around health. I'm going to start with the offensive line as probably being my number one concern because I think it was the number one problem last year. I know they spent some money and they've added some players, but I know we've talked about this before. I don't know what they have. You know, Chris Snee is still a big question mark coming off his elbow surgery. Will Beattie is still a big question mark. You know, J.D. Walton, the center, hasn't played football in 2 years, and that's a lot of questions on an offensive line that should have been completely rebuilt, and maybe it is, but you know, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I'd say my number two concern would probably be the pass rush. You know, you lost Justin Tuck with his, you know, what was it, 11 sacks last year. You know, they didn't really add a lot in that department. They brought in Robert Ayers, you know, could be a steal, but they're counting on Jason Pierre-Paul being healthy. Well, you know, a lot of people were counting on him last year, too. So, and even if he's healthy, will he ever regain his form of 2011? I still want to see that. And I guess my third concern, you know, I'm not too worried about Eli Manning. I'm not too worried about him picking up the offense. You know, I still got to see something out of that tight end spot. That has the potential to be a complete black hole in this offense. I know they think they have something there, and I'm not disagreeing with, you know, the veterans they brought in or Adrian Robinson's potential, but obviously we haven't seen it. So, you know, I'll be watching closely to see do they have anything at that spot that can help either in the run game blocking or, you know, somebody who could be a receiver, even capable of catching 40 passes a year.
You know, Ralph, and I want to stick on the offensive side of the ball, and you mentioned tight end. Everyone knows that's a big issue, but I think there's also a fair question right now as to whether or not they have a legitimate number two wide receiver on this roster. We know, not even just in the history of the Giants, but in the NFL, very rarely do rookie wide receivers come in year number one and set the league on fire. You know, Reuben Randall has been inconsistent his first 2 years in the league. And we saw Victor Cruz be less effective last year when he was getting those constant double teams or having that safety over the top on his side. Does Eli Manning have enough weapons? You mentioned the tight ends and a wide receiver to throw to have the bounce back year. Maybe he'll be fine, but he also needs a little bit of help.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I liked a lot of what I saw out of Reuben Randall last year, you know, in short bursts. You know, I'm not sold on Jarrell Jernigan. I know he played well in spots, but I still think he's the fourth receiver at best on this team. I think they're counting on Reuben Randall to be the guy this year, and I think he's shown flashes. The question is the consistency. You know, he had, what, 40 catches last year, I think 41 catches. You know, can he turn that into even 60? Because that's what they really need. If he can be a 60-catch guy, well, then suddenly he can at least complement Victor Cruz and draw some of those double teams. Can he stretch the field a little bit? You know, and how – but big question, I think, for him is going to be, you know, he's in the year right now where you would think, okay, he's going to be coming of age. He's in his third year with this team, third year with this quarterback. This is the season. But, you know, it's all of a sudden a new offense. So is it a starting over point for him, or will this be that, you know, that traditional third-year breakout season for him? And I think that's – I do believe in Reuben Randall. I think he's going to be a good player, but I think that's a fair concern.
On the offensive line, you mentioned some of the question marks. I want to focus in on Will Beatty here for just a second. I think the Giants will be fine inside, Ralph. I think even if Snee gets hurt, you know, you can maybe move Weston Richburg in at guard. You have Brandon Mosley. John Jerry's a veteran. I think you can figure it out. But if Will Beatty either isn't ready for the start of camp or comes back and plays like he did last year, what do the Giants do? What's their answer? And how much could that really handicap this year and give them issues moving forward in 2014?
Well, I mean, I guess they go with Charles Brown in that spot. That seems to be where they were leaning during the mini camps that we saw. But it's a good question. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie and tell you that I know a ton about how Charles Brown is going to play, but I think he's just a stopgap guy if Will Beatty can't go, or if he turns out to have regressed. They're going to need a left tackle at some point. Is that going to be Justin Pugh moving over there, and then they go by with somebody else on the right side? Maybe that's a possibility, but they'll have to scramble. I don't think they're looking at Charles Brown as a long-term answer, or even I don't know if they know that Will Beatty will be ready for September, but I think they'll think he'll play eventually. And you're exactly right. It's a problem if he doesn't. And the same with Snee. You know, even though they will be fine on the inside, every time you take away one of those guys, you chip away at the depth. Now you've got backup guys who are starting. Okay, that's fine. Maybe they can fill in, but you know, now you've got guys who were third team moving up to second team, and that's where you run into the issues, when eventually guys who you just hope would never play are now a heartbeat away from playing, and you know, that's kind of the problem they got into last year.
Rob, what's your feel? Do you think Snee and Beatty will both be starting on this offensive line week one Monday night at Detroit?
Boy, yeah, I don't know anymore. I don't think I ever thought Beatty would be ready. I think that, you know, talking to him, When players are usually incredibly optimistic. When a player will not say to you, "Oh yeah, I plan to be out there opening day," even if it's a hope, the way David Wilson always has, "Oh, I'm going to be out there, I'm going to play." There's no question about it. When a player is starting to hedge his bets, it really makes you wonder. And Will Beatty, to my knowledge, has never said, "I'll be ready by opening day. I'll be ready by the start of the training camp." It's all been very well if, and we'll see. So I don't know that I was counting on him to, you know, do anything other than, you know, maybe get back to practice just before the opener and still be a few weeks away. I always thought Chris Snee would be ready right up until the end of minicamp, when all of a sudden it sounded like nobody was really sure. You just, you know, even Tom Coughlin said he's not quite comfortable yet. And I don't know how much pain he's in. I've heard, you know, people say, okay, well, he's, you know, it looks like he's going to be ready to go. He's doing well, but until he gets back out there and you know, tries to push off on that first block, I don't know what he's feeling. And I think if you don't see him there that first week of training camp, all sorts of questions are going to open up about not only is he going to be ready for the season, but you know, is he just going to call it quits?
I think it's a very fair question. We're joined by Rob Vacchiano from the New York Daily News. I want to jump back to the tight ends for just a second, Ralph. If you had to handicap this five-way battle for the starting tight end spot, how would you do it? People have asked me this question a bunch of times this offseason. I basically close my eyes, roll the dice. Who knows?
Right. That's pretty much the way it is, I think. Although, I'll throw this in there. I think the Giants really want Adrian Robinson to win it.
Right. I agree with
that. You know, Jerry Reese's JPP of tight ends. He talked this guy up from the beginning. He's been selling the, you know, he's been battling injuries, just hasn't had a chance to get on the field and do anything. They want him to finally show those flashes. And you know, even if he doesn't become a big star, at least do enough to be a regular starter. If he doesn't, boy, you know, take your pick. You know, Daniel Fells, Kellen Davis, anybody they can, even Xavier Grimble, anybody who shows anything that they can trust. I'd probably say Xavier Grimble is probably not a guy who I think they would start. I think if they're just sort of rolling the dice on somebody, they'll go with one of the veterans instead. You know, I guess that would be a guess there. But they're really hoping Adrian Robinson is the guy.
Well, Ralph, the way we're talking about this offense, I think for much of this year, the defense is probably going to have to pull a lot of the weight if this team's going to want to make the playoffs. And let's jump to that side of the ball. And we should start with John Beeson. He's one of the two leaders of this defense. Where do you think he's going to be health-wise when we get to September 1st? How realistic is it that he's going to be there week one against the Lions?
You know, I get the feeling it's really a 50-50 type thing. I think that the recovery from his surgery was putting him pretty close to like a week before training camp it was supposed to end, a week before the start of the regular season. You know, look, we all thought Eli Manning would miss the spring, and he suddenly showed up and was fine. I think this is probably not exactly the same thing, but it's possible that Beeson could get ready a little bit sooner and maybe show up with 2 weeks to go and be ready for the opener. But I think it's really not a certainty. You might see him do a few things late in camp and, you know, either have to be limited the first couple of weeks of games or not be able to play the first couple of weeks of games. I don't think they really know yet. And honestly, while you're counting on him being a fast healer, he has had a lot of injuries over the last 3 years, and, you know, that's a concern too. You wonder if anything else will get aggravated during this rehab. So, you know, I think just it's another guy where everybody's got their fingers crossed that everything works out the right way.
I think there are high hopes, Ralph, and we're joined by Ralph Vacchiano from the New York Daily News, that Jameel McClain can step in and at least pick up a lot of the slack from that potential John Beeson not being back for the first week of the year. But how much does that hurt this defense if Beeson, A, isn't back for week one, or is back and, you know, due to the rehab, doesn't play like himself at the start of this first year?
Well, it's a big blow. I mean, I think Jameel McClain certainly could be a decent fill-in. I like him as a player. I really do. I think he'll add a lot to the defense. Him and Beeson, I think, will make, you know, for a good linebacking duo. But just remember how much last year everybody credited John Beeson's presence. His play was fine, but it was really his presence on the field, his leadership, for turning that defense around. This isn't like Justin Tuck, who's gone and everybody knows that they can adjust. They're counting on Beeson coming back. So if your leader is not there, that's definitely going to have an effect. Will it be huge? I don't know. I'd be more worried again about the pass rush. I think without a pass rush, they're in more trouble. But it would certainly help to have him on the field. Can Jameel McClain step up and be that kind of leader? He certainly thinks he can. He said that to us back in the spring. He thinks that he's a natural leader. He can fill in for Beeson, no problem. But, you know, Beeson's the guy. Everybody on that defense from Antrell Roll right on down gave him credit. And it's hard to lose a guy that you think is the reason you guys started playing well.
Well, one of the questions we mentioned, Ralph, was the pass rush. Can the Giants generate a pass rush here with their four-down defensive linemen? And then that really comes to the defensive ends. And you mentioned Jason Pierre-Paul. How much is that effectiveness of the pass rush going to determine how good the Giants are going to be this year? And can they rely on anyone that's not named Jason Pierre-Paul to give them a ton of production from that spot?
You know, I think the pass rush is everything. I think that they have the potential for such a good secondary that this will probably be, even with no pass rush, the defense will be okay. You know, right, middle of the road type of defense. If they get a pass rush, I think they've got the potential to be easy a top 10 unit again, maybe even top 5 if things go well. They're that solid, but it counts. I mean, everything is counting on that pass rush developing somewhere. And not even just you lost Justin Tuck. He had 11 sacks. We all know that I think 6 of them came against, two games against the Redskins. I'm talking about a consistent pass rush. You get a couple of guys either at or near double-digit sacks. And maybe, Jason Pierre-Paul threatening to be what he was in 2011 when he had 16.5, being that kind of dominant force, even if the numbers aren't there. I think it's all about Jason Pierre-Paul. I do have high hopes for Robert Ayers to be a good complementary piece. I don't think you'll get more out of Matthias Kiwanuka than you've got in the last few years. A wild card in this is DeMontre Moore. They, have high hopes for him. They think we've seen a lot of flashes of him, mostly on special teams. It's time now for him to show that, he's not just the fast guy who can almost get to the quarterback. He can actually get there, maybe draw a double team or two on occasion to free up Jason Pierre-Paul. But, if JPP has another one of those 4-sack years or something like that, this is not going to be, it's not going to be a dominant defense. It might be okay, but it's not going to be dominant.
All right, let's jump to the secondary, Ralph. You mentioned that I think the cornerback position is probably the deepest and best on the roster. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there. But safety, I think, is interesting. I mean, I think it's hard to underestimate the type of impact that the loss of Will Hill will have on this group. We know Stevie Brown had the great production of 2 years ago, but a lot of that's being in the right place at the right time. How is this Giants safety position affected without Will Hill there? And Stevie Brown's in, Quinton Dempsey's here. How is that loss going to affect how this Giants secondary plays and, frankly, how the Giants use Antrell Roll?
Well, I think they really want to use Antrell Roll as a regular, normal safety and not have him be the guy who drops down into the slot again, just to make him more comfortable and to really probably make him more effective as well. How the rest of the safety corps shakes out will be interesting. You know, they do lose a little in Will Hill. He was a very solid player. I know some people have told me, well, he was, you know, the best guy in defense at times, and I do get that, but, you know, that he played well, but he was not... It wasn't a huge impact. There weren't games where you walked away and thought, wow, Will Hill dominated out there.
That's
true.
He's
the reason they won this game. You know, that's what I always looked at. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from him, but he's not what Jason Pierre-Paul once was. There were games where Antrell Roll, dominated, or John Beeson, would put on a performance like, wow, look what he did. Will Hill was not that guy. So, and that, I'm only saying that to say that I think you can replace guys like that. And if you bring Stevie Brown back, he was an impact guy a couple of years ago. Those turnovers are huge plays. You know, he had, 8 interceptions, I think it was. So, if he can return even close to his form, that's a very good addition next to Antrell Roll. I don't know what they're going to get out of Quinton Demps, but there's certainly, potential there for him to be a solid veteran. They've done well over the years with, veteran safeties filling in, not necessarily starting roles, maybe the Deion Grant type of role. I think they'll be okay there as long as, Antrell Roll doesn't regress and Stevie Brown is healthy. Maybe they'll miss Will Hill a little, but I don't think it's going to have a huge impact, when they take the field.
Joined by Ralph Vacchiano, New York Daily News. Ralph, want to touch on a couple of the rookies very quickly, because that's something a lot of fans like to keep an eye on at training camp. Can they earn their spots? How much can Giants expect out of their first round pick, Odell Beckham Jr., as a rookie wide receiver?
I think I wouldn't get crazy with expectations. He's not the number one receiver in this offense. He's not going to start out probably as the number two. He's the number three. I could see him having a good, solid 30 to 40 catch type season if the offense breaks right. Certainly the way, the Packers offense went in the past, which is all really we can judge Ben McAdoo on at the moment, there's room for three receivers to put up pretty good numbers, and
yeah.
I think they're very high on Odell Beckham. And honestly, I think he's a better bet than Jarrell Jernigan. I think their big three is Cruz, Randall, and Beckham. If he's smart enough to pick up the offense quickly, then he could be that good, solid third guy that gives you decent production and maybe has a big game or two along the way.
Giants seem to be happy with J.D. Walton, the veteran they brought into play center. The competition between him and Weston Richburg. How much do you think Richburg has a chance of claiming that starting center spot, or if this Chris Snead thing does go south, like we talked about, is a possibility? What's the chance that Richburg might find himself starting a guard this year?
I think that's a better chance than him starting at center. I think, assuming he's healthy, they didn't pay J.D. Walton nothing. I think it was like $5 million over 2 years.
Yeah, about.
For a guy who hadn't played in 2 years, which, to me signals that they really wanted him. Because they paid a little more than they probably needed to pay. And, I think if he's healthy, he'll start. And they seem to like Weston Richburg. They're obviously been playing him at guard along the line. I think they are hedging their bets with him against Chris Snead, and that might be the spot where he goes first. That if they want to get him on the field, their best bet may be to put him in Chris Snead's spot if Snead can't go, or even if he's limited at all.
How do you see Andre Williams fitting in at running back here? Is he going to be in a dogfight with Payne Hillis to kind of get those goal line carries, be that pass protector? How do you see Andre Williams' role this year for the Giants?
Well, I think if he picks up the offense and if he can block, which is Tom Coughlin's big thing with running backs, I think he'll end up being a very solid number two running back. Maybe Peyton Hillis will get the goal line or his pass protection. I don't know. But I think, when they're giving carries away behind Rashad Jennings, they'll hand the ball to Andre Williams. As long as he's not a liability on the field. Anytime I talk about the running backs, though, I will throw in the wild card of, nobody knows what they're getting out of David Wilson. So, if he shows up and is a factor, I might have to rethink that. But, let's assume that if he's ready to go by the start of the season, he's not ready to go full, which I think is reasonable coming off neck surgery. So let's assume, as Jerry said, he's a bonus. We'll factor him in later. I think they think Andre Williams could be, the 5 to 10 carry a game guy behind Rashad Jennings to sort of spell him for a series or two.
Ralph, obviously everything can change. We're very early. How do you think this season is going to go? What's your feel right now? And give me a preliminary number, which you're within free to change. We get closer to the season, for how many wins you think the Giants might be in line for in 2014?
Well, I think the season will be okay. I do look at this team, and there are, as we've been discussing, a lot of question marks. And that's usually not the sign of a 11-12 win team. You know, most of the every team has some, but when you've got this many, and you're counting on this many things to go right, everything is not going to go right. It just never works out that way. So you're probably looking at middle-of-the-road type of team, you know, which would put them in like the 7-9 to 9-7 range. And I go back to last year. Last year, Eli was awful. The offensive line was awful. They went through 100 running backs. They didn't get much of a pass rush. And yet they still won 7 games. They've got to be better than that, just by the players they brought in. So barring a complete disaster, you know, I think you're looking at a team that's probably 9-7 and probably in a fight in the division. How that shakes out, that'll depend, as it always does, on who's healthy and hot at the end of the season. But, you know, I don't think the Giants are the Seahawks or the 49ers, but I don't think they are last place material either. I think they're going to be in the hunt. It'll probably be a frustrating up-and-down season, but they will be in the hunt nonetheless, I would think.
Ralph, I think we're all pretty much on the same page here. Thank you so much for the time. We will see you on Monday. If we can keep getting these 79-degree days, that would be fantastic for us. Tom Coughlin, maybe not so much. But camp is coming fast and furious. Can't wait to see you on Monday, man.
Same here, buddy. Talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Ralphie. Ralph Vacchiano, New York Daily News, does a fantastic job. Thank him for joining us. A little more positive, I think, Paul Schwartz was yesterday. Some good insight into the New York Football Giants. Now, you guys have been holding through Ralph. I'm going to get right to you. It's going to be Micah, then Keith, then Joe. That's the order you guys called in. Let's get to you. Mike in Tennessee. Micah, you're up next at 201-939-4513. Micah.
Hey, welcome back, John. How you doing?
Thanks, buddy. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I just had a few questions. So everyone says Kiwi's going to start opposite of JPP. I want to know if you think someone else could take a spot anytime.
Yeah.
I don't really know if I have any faith in Kiwi right now.
Yeah, Micah, I'm not sure if that's a sure thing, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if that's a sure thing that Kiwi's the starter. I think he is right now. I think that's how they'll line up the first day of training camp with those two guys as the starters. But do I think it's possible that if Robert Ayers outplays Mathias Kiwanuka that he could take over for him at left end? Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't think that is out of the realm of possibilities by any means. Do I think it's an open competition? No, but I don't think it's a job that Kiwanuka is assured. He could lose the job if somebody outplays him.
And then, so if David Wilson keeps fumbling and doing all this stuff, do you think by next year we won't have him on the team, or do you think we'll try to re-sign him?
Well, I mean, David Wilson has 2 more years left on his deal, so I would be shocked if they cut him after this year, even if he has some fumbling issues, to be quite honest with you. The Giants don't cut number one draft picks before the rookie contract is up. That just doesn't happen. But let's get him healthy first. I mean, before we start talking about his effectiveness, let's get David Wilson on the field and get that neck healthy.
All right, and then, so about Odell Beckham, do you think he can be a Pro Bowl wide receiver eventually? I know he's not going to be there at his first year, but do you think he'll ever get there?
Yes, I think there's a very decent shot that Odell Beckham could be a Pro Bowl wide receiver. And, you know, if you're going to pick a guy with the 11th pick in the draft, you know what? He better have the potential to be a Pro Bowl wide receiver. So I think, especially in this offense, he could very well be a Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb type of receiver. I don't think there's any reason he can't be that type of guy. So, yeah, I don't think it'll happen in year one. Heck, it might not even happen in year two. But I do believe that he has the talent to be a guy that can step in here and do a very good job and be a number one Pro Bowl caliber type wide receiver.
All right, well, thank you, man. I hope you had a great wedding and everything, and have a good rest of the weekend, and have a good day, man.
Hi, Mike. I appreciate it. You too, man. Thanks for calling in. 201-939-4513. Keith in Kentucky. Keith, you're up next.
Hey, what's going on, John?
What's up, Keith? Good to hear from you, man. How you been?
I've been all right. Okay, Paul's interview yesterday, he kind of had me flustered a little bit because just his take on the Giants. Now, Ralph, I like his interview. I agree with him about the Stevie Brown, his position on that. Being at the right place at the right time, that's a skill. I played football. Trust me, I wish I was one of those guys because I was never around the ball.
Yeah, but Keith, I'll say this too. Remember, Stevie Brown didn't demonstrate that skill before he got here. So while I think it is a skill and I agree with you, I would like to see him do it again before I believe that's something that he can do every year. You know, we've seen it in the past. A guy like Larry Brown, for example, when he was at Dallas in, like, the mid-90s, had a big interception year. And then all of a sudden he goes to the Raiders and, you know, not so much the same guy. So I want to see him do it again. I agree. I think it's a skill. I think a lot of it is mental preparation, too, and studying. And I think that's really important. But, you know, we've seen guys have kind of freak big interception years before. I want to see him do it again.
Right, I agree. Hopefully he'll do catch a couple in the preseason, and this time just go out of bounds or just down and don't do nothing crazy.
I hear you.
But I think the whole lineup, I mean, everybody has their concerns. I think the whole lineup from the offense to the defense will not be what everybody thinks it is. I think Pugh will be the left tackle because BD, I don't think he'll be ready. I mean, I just don't think he'll be ready, and John Jerry's going to come in at right tackle. And if Sneak can go, he's going to go, but if he can't, I think he's going to call it quits, and then we're going to probably have to see Mosley or Herman or somebody come step up. And I do think Odell Beckham will be fourth string in the beginning. I really think so. I think they're going to play it safe, and I know Giants fans are probably going to get worried if that does happen. I think everybody's going to, you know, get kind of flustered, but I don't think they're going to start him like that. Not the West Coast offense, and I think Hillis will be second string until he does not get in on a goal line situation, and then they'll put in Williams. And I think Wilson, they're going to work him in as slow as possible. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, Keith, the thing about it, too, is that Payne Hillis has got to stay healthy. I mean, Payne Hillis has a bad history here of not being able to stay healthy, and frankly, also has a bad history not holding on to the football. So he's got to overcome those two things before I start anointing him the second running back on this roster.
Okay, and one last thing. I got a question.
Yeah.
What do you do? Now, the fourth-string corner, that kind of has me, you know, I'm thinking, who is that going to be? Is it going to be Hosley? Is it going to be Tremaine McBride? Or what about Charles James? Because it seems like he's having a good offseason. So what if he does good in the preseason? What do you do with Charles James?
Keith, right now, I think Zach Bowman's probably your fourth guy. He's a veteran. He's started in this league before. So I think right now, especially since Tremaine McBride didn't really do anything in spring practice because he's recovering from that injury, I think Bowman's right now your number four guy. That could change.
Okay.
I think your guys that are in the mix, I think the top six corners on this roster right now, and I think all six of these guys could actually make the final 53, to be honest with you. I don't think it's out of the question. I think, obviously, you got Prince. You got Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. You got Walter Thurman. Those are your top three, and I think those are your top three no matter what. I think those are almost set in stone, if that's possible. Your next three now in that mix are Bowman, Tremaine McBride, and I think Charles James. I think Charles James right now is ahead of Jaron Hosley because of his play for one in the spring. And also –
wow.
And also
– So my question is, John, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Because Charles James, he's trying to have a good – little offseason, and then we got Jaron Hosley. Do we just let those guys go?
I think there's a decent chance that Jaron Hosley is not on the roster this year.
Wow. Okay, John. I appreciate it, man.
All right, no problem, Keith. Happy to call, man. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones and say, what's up? Joe in New York. Joe's coming up next. What's up, pal?
Johnny Schmelk. How you doing, buddy?
Joe, what's going on, man? How you been?
Going great. Doing great. Congratulations on the wedding. Magical time for you. I just want to wish you my congratulations.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, Joe. What do you got on your mind today about Big Blue?
Was it a good wedding there with Shakes as your best man and Anna from DC as your maid of honor?
I just saw your tweet and I actually just replied to it. That would be a nightmare from hell. By the way, not that I wouldn't love Shakes to be there, but Anna in DC as the maid of honor, that is that's problematic.
All right, so I just wanted to mention a couple things. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but I'm really concerned about how the Giants are going to be able to generate offense. They have a new system, and they have unproven players in certain positions, new players. First of all, Odell Beckham. I am really concerned about his ability to become a viable second option for Eli Manning. In the history, the modern history of the NFL, there's been only two players that have been able to accumulate over 1,000 yards in their rookie season, Anquan Boldin and Randy Moss. To have a viable option at the second receiver spot is critical for the success of the team from an ability to generate first downs and offense.
No, Joe, I agree. I think you're 100% right. That's why Ruben Randle has to have a big-time year, because he has to be that number two guy, I think, this year, because I think expecting that of Odell Beckham is probably expecting a little bit too much.
Absolutely. And the second thing, I know there's holes and there's a lot of uncertainty in other positions. We can't discount the fact that when the final cuts come through from other teams, there's going to be a lot of bodies on the field and a lot of abilities for Jerry Reese to be able to fill holes in the roster and areas of deficiencies that are identified within the preseason with players that are being cut from the other team. So while, you know, the cupboard is bare and there's not players out there that can fill the needs that we have right now or the perceived weaknesses on the team, don't discount the fact that after those cuts happen, that we could fill some holes and make the team that much better.
I agree. You always keep an eye open, and I think, quite frankly, the Giants starting tight end right now might not be on the roster. You know, you look to see who else is out there, and you try to figure it out.
Well, that's all I have for today. Thanks again, and congratulations.
Appreciate the call, Joe. Thanks so much, man. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, you're up next. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening, John?
Hey, Steve-O.
Thanks for taking my call, buddy. I have a couple questions. Number one, I read somewhere online that it looks like Paysinger is going to get the start over Jaquan Williams. Is there any merit to that? I kind of agree with it. He should, personally. You know, I'm not a huge Jaquan Williams fan, and I think Paysinger, you know, is a little bit more reliable. I wanted to know what your take was on that. Have you heard anything to that fact? Because I definitely read that somewhere that, you know, looks like Paysinger is going to get the start over Jaquan.
I haven't seen anything that would indicate that. In spring practice, Jaquan Williams seemed to be ahead of Paysinger on the depth chart from what I was able to see. I think the two guys are probably better at different things. I think Paysinger is probably a little bit better around the line of scrimmage, a little better against the run. Jaquan's a better athlete, probably better in coverage. But I think right now, assuming everyone's healthy now, Steve, I think your three starting linebackers this year are Beeson, Jaquan Williams, and Jameel McClain. I think those are your three starters.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, John. When do you see us making a decision on the fullback position? I don't know. We're not going to keep two fullbacks. You know, I'm all for Connor, but I'm just wanting to know, what do you think is going to happen with him and Hynoski?
I'll tell you what, Steve. I'm starting to think that there's a decent chance neither guy is on the roster.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, Steve. I think it's probably a 50-50 shot. And I can see the argument for both guys. You keep Hynoski because he's more versatile. You keep John Connor as a niche guy to play in short yardage and goal line. So I could see the guys, you know, I could see the Giants going either way, to be honest with you. I think that'll be one of the interesting things to see shake out once we get to training camps. I got to be honest, neither guy got a ton of reps in the spring. Neither guy was out there a whole lot. You saw a lot of single back. You saw a lot of tight ends lining up in the backfield. You didn't see them use the fullback a ton.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I mean, to me, it's like a no-brainer. You know, given Hynoski's health and his lack of what I feel like is consistency, I don't think he really shows enough of diversity that would make me take him over the consistent play of Connor personally. To me, it's like, I don't even know why it's even a conversation.
Well, Steve, I'll say this. I think Hynoski is a much better receiver, for example, than Connor is.
Okay. You know, all right. Well, listen, what about, you know, and I feel the same way about Hillis as well. You know, I mean, and the fact is, Hillis, first of all, to me, he's the odd man. First of all, you're not keeping possession of the ball. And that's why it's like it's hard to get a read on Tom Coughlin because, you know, usually with anybody else who's turning the ball over, it's almost a no-brainer. As soon as we can replace them, we will. So, to me, given, you know, the fact that we have a bunch of younger talent, and I think, you know, a lot more explosive talent with healthier talent, I don't even see why we would keep Hillis. I just don't. You know, I just don't.
Steve, I'll say this. I think if Hillis shows the penchant for fumbling in the offseason and in preseason games, I think there's a good chance he's not on the roster.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my biggest concern is really it's going to come down to Eli. And, I mean, the thing is this, I'm one of those few fans who think that we have enough weapons. We just do. We've always had enough weapons. Now, whether these weapons ended up, you know, performing to what I think their capability is, you know, is a whole other thing. But I'm just wondering that when is it going to fall on Eli's shoulders to help make people, you know, better and, you know, the Commanders' offense? That's really what my concern is how well Eli's going to play in the offense, because I think that's just the key.
Steve, beyond Victor Cruz, though, in terms of wide receivers and tight ends, is there really somebody that you think the Giants can rely on that you know is going to be a solid starter or a very good contributor?
Well, I feel good that Ruben can definitely be a solid starter, but my thing is this, you know, and that's my other concern is are we going to, you know, I would like to see us, you know, be a run-first team. You know, it's that's what I'd like to see is, you know, run the ball and play defense. You know, that's just my motto. And I don't know if we're going to see that. I really hope to see that, or, you know, but I'm really not sure how the offense is going to play out. So, I mean, I guess that's, you know, a normal concern to have for everybody, you know, just knowing, what, you know, that we have a new offense being put in and, you know, how is everybody going to adjust. But I really hope that we don't really come out of the box really trying to throw the ball down the field a lot, you know, without, you know, establishing our running game. So, you know, John, I really wish I had something real good to bring to the plate today. I don't actually call because I was having problems, you know, getting it on the web, so I wanted to listen in on the show, man.
It's all good, Steve. No worries.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one, and I'll talk to you later.
Take it easy. By the way, NFL Gents had a good point on Twitter. Points out that last year, Keenan Allen, a third-round pick at 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Great point. I forgot about that. He did. That's an excellent point. And it shows you that, you know, not necessarily even the first-round pick, second- or third-round guys can come in and have an impact in year number one. But I think to expect that from a wide receiver and to count on a guy to be that number two or number one in Keenan Allen's case is probably asking still a little bit too much. Back to the phones, 201-939-4513. Phil is in Montclair, New Jersey. Phil, you're up next. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Schmuck? How you been?
I'm doing all right, Phil. What's up with you?
Not much, man. I had 2 points. I was happy about, you know, the off-season moves, especially on defense, because I feel like instead of relying just on the line, I think we moved toward being a well-rounded defense. You know, that's what makes, you know, the Seattle's and the 49ers that good, because they're well-rounded. They're not just relying on defensive end or just a linebacker. I think we did a pretty good job there. But my issue is, you know, just like the last caller said, it's really the offense, because if you think about it, we really don't have a tight end or a solid number two, I mean, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
In terms of the tight end position, you're talking about a wide receiver?
Both. I said we don't have a tight end or like a solid number two receiver.
Well, I agree. And I agree. And I think, Phil, that's why on my list of concerns for this year, weapons for Eli Manning is in the top three, if not top two or number one. I don't know who Eli can count on that out there at wide receiver to throw the football to. That's not Victor Cruz. I mean, you hope Ruben Randall can be that guy, but has he shown you the consistent play in his first couple seasons that, you know, you can rely on him to be that guy? I don't have the answer to that question. I'm not sure. And Odell Beckham, again, he's a rookie. You can't count on rookie wide receivers league to be consistent starters. And you mentioned the tight end. Who the hell knows what you have there? So, yeah, I mean, look, I think Eli Manning is going to learn the offense. I don't think that's going to be an issue for him. But does he have the guys that he can rely on to throw the ball to? It's a good question. I think we'll have to wait until we get to preseason games to find out for sure.
I think if Randall has a good year, then I think then we could, you know, lessen our worries a little bit if he has a decent year. Because I think his problem last year was you could tell a lot of times with the plays that he really wasn't sure, that him and Eli weren't in sync. So maybe that had a lot to do with it, because you can tell he has the physical, you know, ability to be a good player. We just need him to take pressure off of Victor Cruz, and hopefully Odell Beckham could be like a Steve Smith and come in and be, you know, a viable target for Eli. But this goes back to what I was saying. I know we talked before around draft. I think we made a mistake. I'm adamant on that one. I think that's, I think we made a mistake with that. Because I see they had the center redraft. They had him playing guard in the mini camps, and I think that defeats the purpose.
Hey, look, I think the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to find a starting tight end on this team. I really do. And I'm not sure if that guy's on the roster right now. He might be, maybe not. But, look, I think I think this team is taking a big risk going with the group that they have right now. We'll see if it works out or not. It's worked out in the past with a guy like Jake Ballard. We'll see if it works out this year.
I think one more thing,
yeah.
But and all, you know, I'm a big Giants fan. I'm like crazy Giants fan. But I think we might be a year away. I would say we could do enough to win a division this year, but I think we are a year away from really contending, even though with the defense how it is.
I think that's fair. I don't disagree with you.
All right, Schmoke.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate the call, man. Talk to you soon. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. I got Shakes 2 days in a row. Very exciting. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, I told you I was
going
to call.
You did? What's going on, man?
Man of my word, man. Did you catch the interview with Charlie and Dakey?
Shakes, I did not. This week has been absolutely crazy trying to get ready for camp. I haven't had much free time, unfortunately.
No problem. But, yeah, catch that, really. I wanted to pick up on some things that y'all was talking about. Like, for instance, the fullback competition. Now, as you saying, you know, they haven't used them in OTAs and all that. And I get that. But my thinking is maybe it's because, you know, the physicality factor. You know, for a fullback, you got to be a lot of hands-on.
No, that's fair. I think that's fair, Shakes. And, you know, and we'll see. Maybe once they put the pads on here and they start having more contact in training camp, maybe that'll change. That is very possible.
That's what I'm thinking. So that's what I'm banking on. You know, I want to see, you know, how often do they use them in the training camp part, because now it gets more physical. So now we get to see if they really going to use them. And I really think that Connor should be the guy, because I think that Hillis can do whatever Hanowski can do. So whatever we think of Hanowski, Hillis can fill that role, and he probably can be better.
Though I don't think Hillis would be as good of a lead blocker as Hanowski is, to be fair.
Right. That's why I keep Connor.
Right.
That's right.
That's fair.
Because I think that, you know, you can be physical, and you know, my whole thing is being dominant and imposing your will. And I believe that, you know, Jacobs and Hillis, they all had good games last season, but it was mainly a big part was Connor with his physicality and his lead blocking. So that's why I like Connor, and Connor's my guy. I also wanted to talk about the ODB situation, Odell Beckham. I think he's going to break out. Reason why is you can't account for speed. And if you got speed and you know how to run routes, I think you can go a long way. Now, I know he's a rookie, but I just think that we're going to be talking about him like we were talking about Deshaun Jackson with the 50-yard touchdown. I think he's just going to have a lot of those. I see him having about three over 50-yard touchdowns in the season.
Well, Shakes, you know what, Shakes? I hope you're right. And he definitely has the speed to be that stretch-the-field guy. We'll see if it comes to fruition. I think he is the talent. Let's see if he can put it together. And by the way, I don't want to freak out about it. That's not my intention here. I would be a little concerned that he already had a hamstring issue in spring practice. And, you know, he has done a lot of track before. He's a sprinter. He's got a sprinter's type of, you know, form. His mother was an Olympian sprinter. So I would worry about a little bit of that with, like, the, you know, the leg and the hamstring and the muscle pulls. I'm not freaking out about it yet. It's just something I'd keep an eye on.
Yeah, but I just wanted to counter that because he has played with that, you know.
That's true, too.
He has showed that he can play with that. And, you know, as he said in the interviews, his parents were sprinters, like you just said, and they have a little special thing that, you know what I mean, that they can heal faster because they know and they experience these injuries way more than the average other person can ever tell you. You understand what I mean?
No, I do. I think that's fair.
So, okay, a few other things, because, you know, the interview was intriguing. Very great interview, John. He said, you know, we was in the 7-9 or 9-7 range. That's his little take.
Yes.
And yesterday's interview, guy was really, you know, really concerned. My thing, like he said, if the pass rushing comes to fruition, which I think it is, because I think DeMarcus Moore steps up, you know he's my guy. And I just think that he steps up and shows that he can take some attention away from JPP. And I just think that the pass rusher will be there. And if the pass rushing is there, we would be a top five defense. And with that being said, we will win 11 games. That's my take on it.
I'll put it this way, Shakes. If JPP looks like the guy from 2011, I think double-digit wins and winning the division becomes a really, really strong possibility.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And the Walton over Richburg thing, I'm not agreeing with that neither because, I mean, like y'all said, we poo-pooed on a tight end, getting a premier tight end to get this guy. And he's, you know, he was one of the top centers in the draft. You know, we got to start him off the break. And then and this guy, Walton, ain't played in 2 years. And I know you paid him top money, but the money factor should not weigh in on, you know, whether you should start a guy or another guy.
Now, Shakes, I agree with that. Well, let me ask you this. Would you be okay if Chris Snead can't go if Richburg ends up being your starting right guard week one?
I would be okay with it, but I'd rather we have Mosley and still have Richburg at center.
Okay.
I like Mosley.
All right, Shakes, so. Is that all you got for me today, brother?
Yes, that is all I have.
All right, man. Very,
I covered it all.
Very tight. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, thank you.
Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show. Drew is down in Virginia. Drew, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Drew. Wow, this is 4 days in a row for you now, man.
Yeah, I'm shocked, man.
So
by the way, I'll be up in D.C. tomorrow, so let me get it out the way. Hey, first and foremost, man, you know I got to count on Buddy Steve, you know, one for making his little slide remark yesterday. You know,
well, what did he say?
You know, when I talked about Jumbo Elliott, oh, well, I was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, man? I mean, you know, you got to be that. You know, you got to go there with that. Not only that, I believe I told you, I don't do Twitter. So, you know, if he put it on Twitter, I wouldn't have saw it anyway. At any rate, you know, how in God's green creation when can you say you feel like we have too many weapons on this team or enough weapons on this team when everybody in there, including me, you, and all the other fans, I mean, I'm no expert, but all the other experts said we don't have enough weapons. And then he's talking about, well, we want to, you know, I'd like to see us, you know, get a running game going. Heck, I'm scared to death for the offensive line, a running game going. Hell, we better make sure we got enough people to do some blocking first.
No, look, okay. Look. The offensive line is the key to everything, you know,
right.
Drew. I don't think anybody is going to question that.
Right. So, you know, I mean, you know, we're not going to run a conservative offense. One, it's not Tom Coughlin's nature, okay? And two, I really don't think McAdoo is going to run a conservative offense. You know, and then also, man, I heard an interview a couple of weeks ago, man, with Victor Cruz, and even he indicated that we're not going to be running any offensive line. So, yeah, while I do agree Eli is the key to the offense, my concern, like everybody else, you know, like people were saying is, you know, do we have enough weapons? Who is Eli going to throw to? Because we have a bunch of unknowns. We have some rookies. We don't have a tight end. And then, you know, we also have to worry about the line blocking. So I don't know. I just don't see it. You know, it's just too many questions. But I certainly don't see any, too many weapons. I think there's too many questions, as been noted by everybody, but has been noted by both your guest callers yesterday and today. And, what you've been saying as well, you know, can these guys step up? That said, you know, that's a bunch of hopes and prayers, and I definitely do hope and pray that Reuben Randle, but Odell Beckham can also step up. You don't know what's going to happen with Manningham, so that's a question right there. And with regards to our pass rush, yes, if Beeson can play and if JPP can step up, and if Kiwi can get it together, then we might have a decent. But, you know, it's too many ifs in there. Again, my thing is, you know, and I'm going to get ready to go, but my thing is just basically, you know, with all of those question marks and everything else, I'm still sticking with 9-7.
All right, Drew. Sounds like a plan, man. Hey, look, you're going up to D.C. Why don't you find Steve? You guys can hug it out. You guys can, figure things out, all right?
Yeah, actually, I'm going up to D.C. tomorrow. Then from there, I'm going up to New York. You know, I have family, both D.C. and New York. So I'm just going up to D.C., meet my cousin, then we just going to ride up to New York. So
all right, Drew. Have a good
time,
man.
Spending time. Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, take it easy, my friend. All right, everybody. Good job on the phone today, by the way. I stole that hug line from my man at Big Blue Got Rings on Twitter. I'm not going to take credit for that. And one other good point on Twitter from Carly Martinez. Point of reference, Julius Thomas of the Broncos only had one NFL catch in his first 2 years. Perhaps that's hope for the Giants tight end position. And I think that would reference directly to Adrian Robinson. I think that's a fair point. And Mike Farmer doing his normal, defending Peyton Hillis. Only two fumbles last year, that's true. But over the course of his career, basically he averages one fumble per 40 carries over the course of his NFL career. It's pretty consistent. It's one fumble per 40 carries. That's one every two games if he's going to, or three games if he's going to get decent carries. So that could be a bit of a problem. Everybody, good job on Twitter. Good job on the phones. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9:30 on Giants.com. Either Tom Rock or Art Stapleton will be our guest as we continue to preview training camp, which starts next week. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.